Raw footage coming out of the cinema and into your ears.
35mm. Analog world. 35mm.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Raw Footage Podcast, the stream of consciousness film review podcast that comes out of the cinema and into your ears. It seems a little odd doing this now, but I have now got a website. This podcast has been developed in such an odd way that for all the episodes I've recorded so far, I wasn't sure where this podcast would be honed. So in the body of the episodes, I haven't made any announcements as to email addresses or websites or things like that. But now, as I'm recording this, the podcast is live. So, those questions of where it's being honed are no longer relevant. So, I can announce that the website for this podcast you can find at raw-footage.co.uk, where there are feeds for both the standard and enhanced versions of this podcast, as well as iTunes links for both the standard and enhanced versions. There's trailers for all of the films I talk about on the website, and there's also a full explanation of my spoiler system, which is relevant for certain episodes. So you can find all that at raw-footage.co.uk. And if you want to send me comments or feedback, you can send that to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. So, with that basic information finally able to be disseminated, it's time to get on with the reviews for this episode.
Oh boy, are you in for a special treat.
The first film in this episode, I saw as kind of an experiment in the nature of trailers. When I saw the trailer for this, I thought, that's a bad trailer. It spoils the entire film. So it was kind of a thing of, can this still be an entertaining film? Because of this experiment, I guess you'd call it, I'm not going to play the trailer, because I do genuinely believe that you need to go into this film blind. So I'm going to skip my usual practice of playing the audio from the trailer and instead go straight into my review. This is what I thought of Dream House. So you now find me inside the Cinema Deluxe in Bristol. Because it's not even 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm completely alone in this section of the cinema. It's kind of an airport departure lounge kind of affair where people wait to go into their screenings, but I'm the only person here. It's another double bill day, and just come out of the first film, come over to Bristol for it, because this Cinema Deluxe is so much better than the Odeon in Bath, and it actually works out, even with the bus ticket, it actually works out only slightly more expensive than going to the Odeon, so yeah, it's a no-brainer really. So I've just come out of Dream House, and the reason I wanted to see this film is that I saw the trailer and instantly thought, that is a terrible trailer. It has spoiled the film. And I wanted to see, A, if that was right, and B, if I could still enjoy the film. Well, to answer the first question, yes, the trailer to Dreamhouse completely spoils the film. It's a terrible, terrible trailer. I mean, there's a big revelation 45 minutes into this hour, 50-minute movie, and the trailer just has it straight in there. And it's kind of frustrating because it's built up really nicely, because for this first 45 minutes, you are pretty convinced you're seeing one type of film. And then this revelation happens and you realise it's a completely different kind of film. The idea is that Daniel Craig plays a man who quits his job in publishing in order to go home, spend time with his family, and write a novel. He has just bought his dream house in the countryside, which he shares with Rachel Weisz and his two young daughters. And he comes to discover that the house he has bought is the site of a murder, and he is being stalked, or people are hanging around, and the assumption is heavily there that the man who committed this murder 5 years ago is hanging around the house and threatening Daniel Craig and his family. So that's kind of the premise. I mean, it's a little bit like Straw Dogs or something like that, with the revelation that this dream house is not so dreamy after all. But then the twist happens and you realise that there have been supernatural things going on. And I might even be saying a little bit too much just saying that. So that's the setup, and honestly, do not watch the trailer for Dreamhouse. But is it a good film? And I would say it's okay. It's pretty well made. Daniel Craig is pretty good. You have to have a little bit of suspension of disbelief for the twist to work. But at the end of the day, it's only one person involved in real deception to make the twist work. The twist itself is entertaining, it's believable. But I wish I didn't know it going in, because they did build it up quite nicely. I mean, because I knew that this twist was coming, I could see how they had built it up. And they did do it very, very well. So it's frustrating that the film companies decided to spoil everything in the trailer. I mean, the twist is okay, but I have seen it done before, or similar things done before. I mean, specifically one film from last year, which did it 100 times better. And if I tell you which film that is, you can probably work out the plot of Dreamhouse for yourself. So, don't watch the trailer. And you might have an enjoyable experience, because the twist is set up nicely and it's pretty well made and well acted. So, yeah, overall, a thumbs up. This issue of trailers giving away too much information about a film is becoming more and more prevalent in modern Hollywood. I mean, after all, this is the second episode in a row I've had to remove the trailer audio from these episodes because they give away too many spoilers. It seems that marketing departments of film companies don't care if they spoil a film, as long as they get people into the cinema. The irony is that occasionally it works, because I was more interested in seeing Dreamhouse after I saw the trailer and basically had the film spoiled. I mean, this trailer goes point by point through the plot of the film Dreamhouse and basically tells you what happens. And while that is a terrible idea for the enjoyment of a film, it did actually work, and it did make me want to see the film more. So it is kind of a paradoxical situation, but a lot of film marketing does seem to be paradoxical nowadays. If I'd thought, I would have recorded a red spoiler section so I could go properly into the twist that happens about a third of the way through the film. But in all honesty, I really didn't think it was worth it. I mean, it's an okay film, but not worthy of too much analysis or discussion. It's currently got 7% on RottenTomatoes.com. That's quite hard to do, to have such universal consensus against the film. And I really don't think it deserves to have that lower score. It's not a great film, but I enjoyed it for what it was, which is a mildly silly but entertaining piece of cinema. And like I said, I think all the acting performances are pretty good as well. So, yeah, not an outstanding film, but certainly not as bad as the critics are making out. And probably not worthy of too much more discussion. So, let's get on to the next review.
Well, baby, you have more for me? I admire your stamina.
So it's now time to talk about the film that was the main purpose for my going to Bristol on this double bill day. The next review is 50-50, and here's the trailer.
I think you're making a big, big mistake.
What?
Don't do this.
What are you talking
Please
about?
Please don't do this.
You said you liked this
You're gonna look stupid,
You
man.
Said you would
you're
do
gonna
it.
You're gonna look weird.
Come on, let's just do it. Wait a minute. What do you use these for?
My body.
A tumor?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
that doesn't make any sense, though. I mean, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I recycle.
How do you feel right now?
Fine. You know, I can't remember being so calm in a long time.
Would you describe what you're feeling as a kind of numbness?
No, describe it as fine.
You're young. Young people beat cancer all the time. Every celebrity beats cancer.
Tom Green.
Guy from Dexter. Lance Armstrong. He keeps getting it.
I'm moving in.
No, Mom, no.
I'm your mother, no. Adam.
Wait, exactly.
You want to make a room?
Oh, thanks, I'm all right.
There's weed in him.
You got a prescription for medicinal marijuana?
No, I got a prescription.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I have night blindness.
We shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, big mistake.
Using your balls trimmers instead of going to a bar.
I never wash them ever.
Hello?
Hey, it's Adam.
Adam? What's going on?
It's probably having a nervous breakdown.
What are your chances?
It said 50-50.
It's not that bad. If you were a casino game, you'd have the best odds.
It's what everybody's been saying. You'll feel better and don't worry and this is all fine and like it's not.
You can't change your situation. The only thing that you can change is how you choose to deal with that.
You really think that a girl's gonna go for me just because I have cancer?
For the millionth time, yes!
Great song.
Totally.
I have cancer.
I was wrong. It was weird. It's weird like that.
No, that's
it's not
too
it,
soon.
It doesn't sound cool.
No.
So you now find me in Cabot Circus, just outside the Showcase Cinema Deluxe in Bristol. And I'd just like to reiterate the fact that the seating in the Showcase Cinema is so much better than the Odeon, and still slightly cheaper, so worth coming over to Bristol to see the film I've just come out of, which was 50-50. This is a film starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a young man who discovers he has cancer, and we follow the story of how he deals with this. Or, to be more accurate, I think the key point of this film is how other people react to the fact that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has got cancer. He seems to spend most of the film being concerned with and trying to console the people around him more than deal with his issues himself. And that's a very interesting way to go, and not an angle I've ever really seen from this type of tragedy movie. And I think the reason for this angle is the fact that the writer of this film, Will Reiser, this is kind of a semi-autobiographical film. This is kind of what happened to him. He was a young man who was diagnosed with cancer, and he had to deal with it. And it happens that one of his best friends was Seth Rogen. So, in a weird way, Seth Rogen reprises his role by being Joseph Gordon-Levitt's best friend in this film. And the film also stars Anna Kendrick, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Angelica Houston as the two women in his life and his mother. This is a very good film. It's heartfelt, it seems true to life, which, going by the source material or the story material, that's understandable. And it's very, very funny. There are some genuinely funny moments in it. I would pretty much classify this as a comedy. I mean, it's not a laugh a minute, but peppered throughout the film, there are very funny moments, very funny performances. Of course, Seth Rogen does his usual bit. But although, to be honest, I did find him very loud, very crude. But I get the impression that that's how Seth Rogen is. So I imagine that's how he reacted when Will Reiser was diagnosed with cancer. And we have Anna Kendrick playing the very inexperienced therapist who is assigned to Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And there's a spark, as there usually is in Hollywood films. I mean, not that this is really a Hollywood film. I mean, everything works out more or less okay. And the final scene, if not the final words of the film, are very, very nicely done. But it's, I think, the best kind of approach to this kind of film. It seems like a very real story with a thin veneer of Hollywood over it. You know, there, if you want to put it that way, there is a Hollywood ending. But it feels natural to the story. It's very well handled. And it's overall a really interesting film. I mean, there's one or two issues. I mean, Anna Kendrick, like I said, plays a therapist, and there is some form of relationship there. And the fact that, you know, therapists aren't supposed to date their patients is never really addressed, never really approached. So I would have liked a bit of acknowledgement of that. And I also would have liked a bit of acknowledgement to the fact that this is a young American man who gets cancer, and it's never really dealt with that if he didn't have a good job and if he didn't have excellent health insurance, he would have been fucked. So I would have liked a nod to that as well. But these are very, very minor criticisms in an otherwise brilliant film, which is heartwarming, very funny, very moving in certain ways. I mean, come on, it's about a 27-year-old man who gets cancer. I mean, you can't help but have a heartwarming, compelling film made of that. But I honestly wasn't expecting it to be as funny. I mean, you would expect most of the humour to come from Seth Rogen, and I don't think that's really the case. I mean, like I said, Seth Rogen's character is very loud, very crude, and he does have some funny lines. But most of the comedy comes from Joseph Gordon-Levitt himself, who has to deal with his wildly overbearing mother, played by Angelica Houston, his long-term girlfriend, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who handles this situation very badly. In fact, probably as badly as anything. I mean, she does exactly the worst thing you can do in this kind of situation. Bryce Dallas Howard, I've discovered over the last couple of weeks, does have a nice line in playing despicable characters after her performance in The Help as well. And the interactions between Anna Kendrick and Joseph Gordon-Levitt are funny, they're compelling, and very, very sweet. I mean, like I said, I would have liked a bit of acknowledgement of the therapist-patient relationship, but other than that, the relationship is believable and handled very well. So overall, this is a really top-quality film, which is surprisingly funny. And I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anna Kendrick are outside bets for the Oscars. But at the end of the day, I think they're probably just going to come a bit short. So yeah, recommended. So yeah, a very well made and surprisingly funny film. As well as now having confirmed my website and email address for this podcast, I also now have a firm schedule for the podcasts that will be released in 2011. I've still got a lot of material stored up from when this podcast was in development, so there will be a total of 12 regular shows in 2011. They will be released pretty much daily until the end of the year, at which point there will be a review show released probably in the first week of January, but possibly at the end of December. It will be my top 10 films of the year, not just films that have been reviewed on this podcast, since I've only been doing it a couple of months, but a review of the whole year that will be released at the end of December or the beginning of January. Because the way I do things is that the new year starts on Boxing Day. So films that were released on Boxing Day 2010 will be eligible for this review show, whereas films that are released on Boxing Day or afterwards this year will not be, most notably The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Artist. They will qualify for next year's review and awards. The reason I do this is so I don't have to rush my reviews. I have time to contemplate and really get into my top 10 films of the year in the last weeks of December. And if I do things from Boxing Day afterwards, it's just not enough time to properly do the whole process. So there are 12 episodes for films that I watched coming up to Boxing Day, as they will be released before the end of the year. And then the Raw Footage Best of the Year show will be either at the very end of December or the beginning of January. And after that, things will calm down a bit and the podcasts will no longer be daily. But it's still awards season, so there still will be quite a few episodes in January and probably getting into February as well. So I hope you don't get too annoyed with me. And of course, I do now have an email address, so if you want to send comments or thoughts about any of the reviews I've put out, then feel free. I'd also be happy to accept MP3 feedback if anybody wishes to record me something. I'd really like to hear what you've got to say. So that was Raw Footage, and I'll see you the next time I come out of the cinema and into your ears. Raw Footage is an Ouroboros podcast production. Homepage can be found at raw-footage.co.uk. Comments and feedback can be sent to rawfootagepodcast@gmail.com. The intro music to this show is by Oliver Benjamin Thayer. The outro music is by Vicky, both used with permission. Idents provided by Dr. Brandy Sexy Voice of The Inside Outcast. Trailer audio is included under the Doctrine of Fair Use.